Good afternoon, and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Martha Ann Zerba
and Emily Osman
from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware Curia, United States of America. Today is August the 14th, 2020. Tomorrow is August 15th, which is the feast of the Solemnity of the Assumption of Mary. We will share with you the meditation by Venerable Mary of Ágreda on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. But before that, we like to let you know who Mary Ágreda is. But in this hour of grace, where mercy triumphed over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking his omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners. Well, we will first share a reflection on divine mercy, on human plans that are thwarted. It is easy for us to come up with what we deem to be a great plan for our lives and for the glory of God. We can think and plan and develop and organize things in a certain way, only to find out that what we have come up with is not what is in the mind of God. The error some people find themselves in is that they have failed to sincerely listen to God speak, and therefore have failed to allow him to lay out his perfect plan for their lives and for their great good of giving him glory. The fact remains that if something is not the will of God, it will not happen. Our plans become thwarted by the will of God, and this is good. The same is true of others' attempt to inflict some idea upon us that is contrary to God's will. The Lord always protects us from this when we trust in him. It's true that at times he allows evils to befall us as part of his permissive will, but this must be seen as a part of his plan for our holiness, permitting us to trust more deeply in his providential care. So, Amy, let's reflect upon that and see more.
Reflect upon whether you sincerely seek God's will before you develop your own plan or idea. This takes patience and surrender. It requires that we deny our own impulses and preferences and allow the Lord to speak and act. Reflect also upon any plans you have had for your own life that have not come to fruition. Know that this is either the result of a lack of trust on your part or because your plan did not align with the will of God. Surrender any past failure you have experienced and renew your commitment to seek only the will of God.
Beautiful. So let us pray. Lord, I trust that in your perfect wisdom, you will direct my life and lead me to give you perfect glory. Help me to deny my own untamed impulses and preferences so that you and you alone will enter into my life and take charge. I give all to you, dear Lord. Jesus, I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're back. And first, initially, we're going to talk about Venerable Mary of Ágreda, who was the one who we're going to share with you her meditations on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. So this comes from the Franciscan Book of Saints, which was edited by Marian Habig, who was a friar minor. So Mary of Ágreda was born at Ágreda in Spain in 1602 of noble parents, whose virtues surpassed the nobility of their birth. Very early, the child showed special signs of grace. At the age of six, she had attained a high degree of prayer, which was noticeable in her devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to the sufferings of our Lord. Her confessor recognized the great graces with which she was favored and permitted her at a tender age to receive Holy Communion and to practice extraordinary works of penance. Painful illness which afflicted her, she bore with the greatest patience, strengthened by the remembrance of Christ's suffering. Now in her 17th year, Mary entered the convent of the Poor Clares of the Immaculate Conception at Ágreda. As a novice, she excelled in the exercises of convent life. She made her profession on the Feast of Purification in 1620, and as Sister Mary of Jesus. After she had consecrated herself to God through her holy vows, the young religious strove for perfection with holy earnestness and cheerful surrender to God. At the same time, her unassuming humility and kindness of heart made her so beloved by her fellow sisters that at the age of 25, she was elected abbess. The Pope confirmed her election to office, and she was obliged to accept it repeatedly for 38 years until her death. Only once, at her most earnest request, was she released for a period of 3 years. Now let's hear what her superior had to say.
As the superior, Mary was always the first among her associates to engage in lowly work. She swept the halls, nursed the sick, washed their linens, and appeared to have a special preference for the most menial services. Her way of life was so austere that one wonders how she could do her work. She not only abstained from meat, but never partook of eggs, milk, or cheese. She slept on a board for only 2 or 3 hours. The remaining time of the night she spent in exercises of devotion. Every night, laden with a heavy cross, she made the way of the cross. Even as a superior, she strove to practice obedience, following the suggestions of her higher superiors, and in spiritual matters, submitting wholly to the guidance of her confessor. For a time, she had a confessor who dealt harshly with her and never granted her any request she made. But Mary obeyed him cheerfully and often said later, "He acted well. I always thought that he was right, and because of obedience, I felt great peace of soul."
Oh, I bet she did. Now, Venerable Mary of Agreda governed her subjects with as much wisdom as love. She was endowed with great wisdom, so that persons of the highest rank also, prelates and bishops, and even the King of Spain, asked for her advice. When she spoke of God, all who heard her were inflamed with the love of God. She received special revelations concerning the life of the Virgin Mother of God, which she recorded in a book called The Mystical City of God. And this is what we'll be sharing with you later on today.
Mm-hmm.
Mention should be made about Mary of Agreda's work among the Indians of Texas and New Mexico. Her ardent desire, prayers, and sacrifices for their conversion were apparently rewarded with the gift of bilocation. Between the years 1621 and 1631, when Mary of Agreda was between 19 and 21 years of age, she made some 500 visits to Texas Indians, coming in, it seemed to them, from the hills on their own horizon, and returning that way after her instructions were over. When these Indians presented themselves to the Franciscan missionaries in New Mexico and asked that fathers be sent among them, it was learned that a lady in blue had often come among them, instructed them, and ordered them to seek out missionaries to baptize them.
Oh, that's amazing.
It certainly is.
Upon investigation, it was learned that this lady in blue was Mary of Agreda, who, when she was put under obedience to tell what had happened, said she had no explanation. She could not say how she got there, only that when she was praying for the welfare of the Indians, she just found herself among them and began to instruct them. Presently, she found herself home again. This happened many times. A bishop testified that when Venerable Mary of Agreda went into an ecstasy, her body was raised a bit above the ground and appeared to have no weight, moving even to a slight breeze. Her face was very beautiful, though somewhat pallid, compared to her normal swarthy hue. She would often remain in this state for hours.
Wow, that's amazing. And then Mary died on Pentecost morning, which was May 24th, 1667 at 9 o'clock. At a time the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, and when the Vina Creator Spiritus, come, come, Holy Ghost Creator, was being recited in the Canticle of Hours. You know, they say the moment that you die has a lot to do with where you may end up in life. If it's on a special saint day, or for instance, when she died, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
When she passed away, a heavenly voice was heard to say, "Come, come, come. At her grave, many miracles were wrought, and her cause of beatification is now being carried on in Rome. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, Amy, let's go ahead and talk about her meditation on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven.
Okay. More and more as the years passed, the Blessed Virgin felt torn between her ever-increasing longing for union with God in heaven and her compassionate love for the Church and for mankind. She therefore had to strive to achieve the right adjustment between the active and the contemplative life. Consequently, while remaining actively attentive to the needs and welfare of all the children of the Church, she was also able to be continually absorbed in prayerful contemplation.
Now, towards the end of her life, through the intensity of her burning charity, the Blessed Virgin's soul had approached so closely to the union with God that only the Lord's reluctance to deprive His Church of such an invaluable guide restrained Him from welcoming her forever into the glory of heaven. She then began to suffer a ceaseless spiritual martyrdom, for she no longer could hold back the overflowing force of her yearning for heaven and for the beatific vision of God. Yet she was too humble ever to ask for the privilege of liberation from mortal life. After the Blessed Virgin had passed her 16th birthday,
60th.
Oh, the 60th, thank you. The 60th birthday, the Holy Trinity, wishing to reward her perfect generosity in doing the will of God throughout her life, sent the Archangel Gabriel to reveal to her that she was destined to die. Well, upon entering her oratory, the Archangel found her prostrated on the ground in the form of a cross, praying for sinners. The Mother of God respectfully rose to her knees as soon as she perceived Gabriel, who was accompanied by many angels bearing crowns and palms as symbols of various rewards for their queen. Now, this is how Gabriel greeted Mary.
Gabriel greeted Mary with these words: "The Lord sends us to announce to thee in His name the happy end of thy pilgrimage upon earth. Exactly 3 years from today, thou shalt be taken up and received into the everlasting joy of heaven." The Blessed Virgin bowed to the ground and replied gratefully, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." It's the same thing she said at the
administration. Yes, how about that? Yes.
And she asked the Lord and all the saints and angels to help her prepare for death.
She wrote to the apostles and disciples to encourage them in their missionary work, and she exercised still greater zeal in strengthening the faith of the converts whom she met. Although she kept her secret, her conduct was that of a person who is preparing to depart and who wishes to leave all her friends rich in heavenly blessings. A few days later, however, she said to St. John, "My son and master, in His condescending mercy, the Lord has revealed to me that there remain only 3 more years until my passage into eternal life. I beseech you, my son, to help me during this short space of time to give the Almighty some return for the immense blessings which I have received from His generous love. And from the bottom of my heart, I beseech you to pray for me."
Unable to restrain his tears, John answered, "My mother and my lady, help your poor child who is going to be left an orphan." Seeing that his tender heart was stricken with intense pain, Mary gently consoled him and assured him that she would ever remain his mother an advocate in heaven. Although John was at first permitted to reveal the secret of their approaching loss only to St. James the Less by a divine inspiration, the other apostles and disciples, wherever they happened to be, began to realize that the beloved mother of their Savior would not be with them on earth much longer.
In fact, Almighty God filled the whole of creation with a mysterious sorrow over the prospective death of its queen. The light of the sun and the stars and planets lost some of its brightness during the last days of her life. Saint John became so grief-stricken that often he was unable to hide his sorrow. Now, during the last 2 years of her life, the Blessed Virgin Mary greatly increased her charity work. She healed in body and soul all the sick who came to her. She drew innumerable persons from sin to grace and made many new converts to the church. She relieved the misery of the poor by giving them whatever possessions or gifts she had, and often by performing miracles for them. In every way, she generously strove to help the faithful personally before her death. And above all, she was consoled and encouraged them by promising that she would continue to help all Christians until the end of time.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah. During the last days of her life, the Savior visited his mother more often than before, comforting her affectionately and assuring her that he would soon place her on a royal throne in heaven. On these occasions, Mary fervently interceded for all living and future servants of the church. On the morning of her last day, the Blessed Virgin summoned the apostles and disciples and holy women to the cenacle. They were all deeply moved as they quietly gathered around her. With sad hearts, they gazed for the last time at the Holy Mother of their God. She was as poor and humble and lovely as ever. They noticed an extraordinary celestial light that seemed to enfold her. Mary rose from her couch, and after kneeling and kissing Saint Peter's feet, she went to each of the 11 other apostles for his blessing, and with each she exchanged a touching farewell. She thanked Saint John with special affection for all his kindness. She also asked him to distribute her few clothes to a servant woman and to a poor girl who often helped her.
Then, after a moment's recollection, the Blessed Virgin said to all who were present, "Dearest children, I have loved you with that tender love and charity which was given to me by my divine Son, whom I have seen in you, his chosen friends. My children, love the church and love one another." And turning reverently to Saint Peter, she continued, "I commend my son John and all the rest to thee, Peter." Then she added for all of them, "And I promise you that in heaven I will ever look upon you as a mother." As she ceased speaking, everyone was weeping. Mary's eyes, too, had filled with tears. Then, glowing with a heavenly radiance, she sat on her couch, and as each of the apostles, disciples, and holy women in turn knelt before her, she blessed them by touching their foreheads with her crossed hands. Next, Mary asked all her grieving friends to pray with her and for her in silence while Saint Peter celebrated Mass at a small altar in an adjoining room. While becoming absorbed in contemplation, she saw her divine Son coming down from heaven in glory, accompanied by many saints and many angels. Thereupon, she prostrated herself before him and kissed his feet, making the last and most intense act of faith, love, and humility in all of her life.
The Lord gave her his blessing and said to her, "My dearest mother, the hour has come in which thou art to pass into the glory of my Father. And since by my power and as my mother I have caused thee to enter the world exempt from sin, therefore also death shall have no right to touch thee at thy exit from this world. If thou wishest not to pass through it, come with me now to partake of my glory, which thou hast merited." But Mary joyfully replied, "My Son and my Lord, thou didst suffer death without being obliged to do so. It is proper, therefore, that as I have tried to follow thee in life, so I follow thee also in death." The Savior approved her last generous sacrifice.
While the angels began softly to sing verses of the Canticle of Canticles, and the apostles sadly recited for the dying, St. Peter entered the room and gave Mary her last Holy Communion, after which he anointed her with the oils of extreme unction. At this solemn moment, the cenacle was filled with a marvelous light and fragrance which everyone perceived. The presence of the Lord was revealed to several of the apostles, and the chanting of the angels was heard by many. Now, the Mother of God had reclined on her couch. Her plain mantle and tunic were nearly folded about her. Joining her hands in prayer, she kept her eyes fixed on her divine and glorious Son. The intensity of her love for him and the fervor of her longing to be with him completely transfigured her radiant features. She seemed to become utterly inflamed with the fire of her seraphic charity. On her beautiful face appeared an expression of heavenly joy, and her lips parted in the sweet, gentle smile of her youth. Then what happened?
Then, while a number of cherubic little angels hovered about her, and the choir of angels and archangels with singing the verses of the canticle, "Behold, my beloved speaketh to me. Arise, make haste, my love, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. The winter has passed." Mary whispered, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." Then the eyes of the Mother of God gently closed, and her soul, without effort, left her body. She died of love.
Yes, she did. When Mary's soul left her body, the soft chanting of the angels seemed to withdraw slowly from the cenacle. Peter and John must have perceived the glory of her soul in this moment of its liberation, for they both looked up, while the other apostles remained absorbed in prayer. The Blessed Virgin's body lay radiant with light, surrounded by her thousands of invisible guardian angels. Her eyes were closed and her hands were folded on her breast. On the day of her funeral, the apostles took up the bier and bore it in a solemn procession from the cenacle to the tomb in the Valley of Josaphat, near the Garden of Gethsemane. All the Christians of Jerusalem, as well as an invisible multitude of angels, patriarchs, prophets, and saints, accompanied the funeral, during which numerous miraculous cures and conversions of compassionate Jewish and Gentile spectators took place. Everyone was amazed at the delicious fragrance and heavenly music that followed the passage of Mary's remains.
When the procession reached the prepared tomb, St. Peter and St. John reverently carried the bier into the sepulcher, which was then filled with aromatic flowers and closed with a large stone, while everyone present wept and prayed in profound sorrow. The heavenly chanting of the angels continued, and many persons noticed an extraordinary light shining around the tomb. Meanwhile, immediately after Mary's death, our Lord had entered heaven, conducting the pure soul of his mother at his right hand, and presenting her before the throne of the divinity. He said, "Eternal Father, it is right that to my mother be given the reward of a mother. And since during all her life and in all her works, she was as like to me as it is possible for a creature to be, let her also be like to me in glory and on the throne of our majesty."
And this decree was approved by the Father and the Holy Ghost. And Mary's soul was immediately raised to the right hand of her divine Son and placed beside the throne of the Holy Trinity. Later, after the funeral, the Lord descended in a dazzling beam of light to the tomb of the Blessed Virgin, accompanied by Mary's soul and by innumerable angels. Then the holy soul of the Mother of God penetrated into her body in the sepulchre, reanimated it, and rose up again, united to it, utterly radiant, gloriously attired, and indescribably beautiful.
Wow. Now, amid celestial music, a magnificent triumph procession ascended from the tomb to heaven. First came the rejoicing angels and saints, and then Christ the King with his Immaculate Mother at his side, while the souls of all the blessed in heaven gladly welcomed and praised their new Queen. Meanwhile, on the morning of Mary's Assumption into heaven, Saint Peter and Saint John had been watching and praying at her tomb with some of the faithful. Suddenly, they noticed that the music of the angels had ceased. Looking up at the sky, the two apostles were partly enlightened by the Holy Spirit and guessed that the Blessed Virgin's body might have been taken up to heaven by God.
As they were debating whether to open the tomb, Saint Thomas arrived from the Orient. When they told him that Mary was already dead, he burst into tears and earnestly begged them to allow him to have one last look at the mother of his Lord. Peter and John consented and proceeded to open the tomb. John and Thomas went in and reverently knelt down in prayer. Then John stood up while Thomas held a lofty torch. There was nothing on the bier but Mary's robe and mantle. In wonder and awe, the two saints gazed at the ceiling of the tomb. Then John ran to the entrance and cried to the others outside, "Come, come and see, she is no longer here." Saint Peter and the rest entered two by two in the narrow grotto. In mixed joy and sorrow, they all wept as they slowly realized what an extraordinary honor and privilege God had accorded to Mary.
Peter carefully folded and took with him her mantle and robe. Then they all stood outside the tomb and sang hymns of praise to the Lord and to his Holy Mother. After they had replaced the large stone, they were standing gazing silently at the sepulchre, when suddenly an angel appeared to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you tarry here? Your Queen and ours is now living body and soul in heaven, and reigning in it forever with Christ. She has sent me to confirm you in this truth, and she recommends to you again the church, the conversion of souls, and the spread of the gospel. She wishes you to return to your ministry. From her throne she will watch over you and protect you."
Then, celebrating this first feast of Our Lady's Assumption with deep joy and peace of heart, the apostles and disciples went back to the cenacle, praying together and singing hymns of thanksgiving to God. Therefore, Emily, don't you think it'll be beautiful if we do the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us.
Christ graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace, pray for us. Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable, pray for us. Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator, pray for us. Mother of our Savior, pray for us. Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful, pray for us. Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice, pray for us. Seat of wisdom, pray for us. Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose, pray for us. Tower of David, pray for us. Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven, pray for us. Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels, pray for us. Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets, pray for us. Queen of apostles, pray for us. Queen of martyrs, pray for us. Queen of confessors, pray for us. Queen of virgins, pray for us. Queen of all saints, pray for us. Queen conceived without original sin, pray for us. Queen assumed into heaven, pray for us. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of peace, pray for us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord God, that we, thy servants, may enjoy perpetual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of the Blessed Mary, ever virgin, be delivered from present sorrow and enjoy eternal happiness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, that was absolutely beautiful. But before we sign off, we'd like to also mention that today is the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who was the founder of the Militia Immaculata. But he's also patron saint for addiction. So, St. Maximilian Kolbe, please pray for us. Well, thank you for listening, and we welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmaryinternetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmaryinternetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. First, Father Dillingham, who's the pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church, Hoquetson, Delaware, United States of America. Charles Durfeo of Oremus Communications. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. All the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. So thank you very much, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. Let us remember that the Lord always protects us when we trust in Him. God bless.